That was proof that radio guys talk over each other in all languages, including Korean. That was the Korean call of last night's Knicks-Pacers game, the Halliburton game tire that could have been a game winner in his mind but wasn't because he didn't get back behind the line. And the Pacers come back from 14 down, 138-135, get the win in overtime. Here's a crazy number before I know Ted Johnson's going to provide some numbers on Halliburton, who is no longer overrated. prior to last night, teams that trailed by 9 or more points in the final minute of the fourth quarter or overtime in the playoffs were 0 and 1,414 since 1998. Now it is 1 and 1,414 thanks to the Pacers, who
unbelievable.
They're living the life. I don't know when it strikes midnight. I don't know where it ends, but they are bringing fun to the Eastern Conference Finals and Indiana right now.
I thought they were fun last year against the Celtics.
Yeah,
I
mean, scrappy, yeah.
Okay, you'd say, okay, defense optional. All right, and maybe that's still the case. But I mean, they put up 138 points and only shot Celtics, you listen, 37 threes. Not 60.
How many?
37.
But they did have a guy who hit 8 of 9 of his threes.
Yeah. No, they were pretty good percentage. They were 40%.
Wait, Ted. How many threes?
37.
How did they score any points in their basketball game?
Crazy,
if they did
it?
That.
It's insane, right?
That's a half for the Celtics.
The Celtics actually missed more 3-pointers in Game One of the Eastern Conference Semifinals than the Knicks took last year.
The Pacers are in the Eastern Conference Finals. They ranked 23rd this year in 3-point shots. Mm. So. You know, they didn't rank one in 3-point shot. They ranked 23rd and have one of the best offenses. Again, they're not the most defensively minded team, but they can score points and they don't chuck up a bunch of threes doing it. One crazy stat nug for you. Tyrese Halliburton, okay, is now 12 of 14 on shots to tie or go ahead in the final 2 minutes of this season.
I believe that's called
12
clutch.
Of 14.
86%.
That's insane.
Derek Jeter wasn't even that clutch.
Six out of every
Tom
seven.
Tom Brady wasn't even that clutch.
Almost.
Isn't that crazy?
Not quite.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
And he's the most overrated player in the NBA, according to
supposedly,
their surveys.
Supposedly. So
now, they're a fun team. You know, we talk about it. Neesmith, you and I have talked about it, Ted, about how he was a first-round pick here, was supposed to be a sharpshooter, supposed
14th
to be the best shooter.
Pick. Best shooter in the draft.
He wasn't that. He became this scrappy try-hard. And then last night, he reverted to looking like the best shooter in the draft.
8 of 9 from the three. And just real quick on Aaron Neesmith. So his last year here, so he only played here 2 years, 2021 to 2022. He was a 27% shooter from three.
Yeah.
So not too good. This year, he's a 43% shooter from three. So
massive uptick.
Took some time. You can sit there and go, do I need to be mad at Brad? It wasn't Brad. No, it was
Udoka?
No, Danny Ainge. You can't.
There's a lot of water under the bridge.
It felt like that was the right move at the time, right? Yeah. I mean, Aaron, it just didn't look like Aaron was going to figure it out, and so, no will. I'm not mad at Danny Ainge for not seeing maybe this coming, but I don't know. The playoffs have been phenomenal. It is a little bit kind of like the Celtics are just they're better team than, I'm sorry, the Pacers and the Knicks.
They should be in the finals.
And you go, is this a system problem? Is this not a talent problem. It feels like a philosophical system issue with the Celtics. They won it last year. Everybody now knows what they're trying to do, so they defend them differently. You saw what happened this year, and now you have two teams that I think aren't better than the Celtics talent-wise playing in the Eastern Conference Championship.
So I think as much as Tyrese Halliburton got called the most overrated player in the NBA, I think the Pacers may be the most underrated team because while the Celtics did sweep them in last year's Eastern Conference Finals, they won the four games by a total of
29 points.
Yeah. Like not,
I've already looked, 29
not
points.
Not like every game.
Everything was close.
Was pretty nip and tuck without like clutch shots by Jalen Brown, Derek White,
first
and some
game
crazy
went to
good
overtime.
Crazy good defense from Drew Holiday. Like that goes 2-2, could have been 3-1 the other way. Who knows which way it would have gone. So I think the Pacers, as people on the broadcast networks today are asking, is this a team of destiny? Perhaps. I don't know. It seems a little hyperbolic.
It's
but
a team destined to lose to the Thunder in the finals.
We are underrating them significantly because that's a these playoffs,
that'd be a
great
finals, though.
It would be the most fun one, I think, of all the variables and permutations, for sure. But these playoffs are going to be remembered not for, like, the great basketball, but for being the most statistically anomalous playoffs I think we'll ever imagine. Like, how the hell the Knicks did that two games in a row, God only knows. How the Pacers did that against the Cavs,
yep.
And now pulling that off last night, go back and watch the last 2 minutes again, and you're like, no, there's no way they don't blow it this time. You know how every time you watch Dan Conley's kickoff return in 2010, you say, this time he's taking it to the house? Every time you watch these last 2 minutes, you're like, there's no way they blow it. And they do every
time. It's a movie. These are like the movie sequences where you're like, if it were a movie, you're like,
that's right.
I don't know. Yeah. In a minute, I don't know if that really happens, but it really happened. And I love trying to buy into the Team of Destiny stuff like that. It's just the 0-1 Patriots, like just something came together in the right combination and it clicks and unlocks success. I'm rooting for the Pacers. I absolutely am. I've been a Miles Turner fan for a long time. I don't know how you can't root for Halliburton. I like the choke thing.
I loved it.
I like it in a sense anywhere, but obviously for the Pacers, Reggie Miller, the Knicks, like the whole backstory of it. Wasn't quite perfect because he thought the game was over.
Was not perfect. You're right.
And he kind of, I think, was
when he was doing it, I was like, oh, it's freaking awesome, but it's you just tied the game, bro.
Right.
You didn't win the game with that shot,
right?
No. And then I think the Knicks scored like the first 5 points in the overtime,
right? But they get the job done, so history will show that it was appropriate. Because it would either way, even if the Knicks won in overtime, you still gagged away an incredible late game situation. Whether you salvage it in overtime, you gagged away that game,
yep.
And that's what. Is a little, it's one of those things, is it good basketball or bad basketball that I'm watching by teams like the Celtics to gag away leads against the Knicks? The Knicks to gag away a lead against the Pacers. Yep. Do I give the Pacers credit or do I blame the Knicks?
It's a little bit of both, but I probably give more credit to the Pacers.
Okay.
Because not only was it just, I mean, they made their shots when they had to, but there was some good coaching in there, and this is where you kind of can maybe highlight coaching. A lot of people think that coaching isn't important in the NBA. I would beg to differ, especially in the playoffs. That challenging that out of bounds player that it was a foul on the Pacers player, and Rick Carlisle challenged it, and it was an out of bounds. The ball went to the Pacers, and so then they scored 3 points to shorten their deficit from 5-2 to then get the shot Halliburton made to tie it to go into overtime. So great coaching, great gutsy shots at the end. I think it was a little bit of a choke job. It was, but man, those guys made tough shots when they need to, and really good coaching at the end as well.
Where do we think this is going to go? Because the very end was very interesting. And Stiz, I think we have this audio from Stan Van Gundy at the very end of the game when there, I believe, is 0.2 seconds on the clock, and the Pacers are inbounding, and he's like, you don't even, if I were this guy, you know, I'd just hand it to the guy in the Knicks. So I think it was Karl-Anthony Towns. Mm-hmm. And to me, there's a little something there that can go over to the next game.
Like, oh,
and we're
for
talking,
sure.
So Stiz, roll this audio and then we'll touch on it.
You can literally take the ball out of rounds right now if you're Indiana and hand it to the guy. You can hand it to Karl-Anthony Towns. He can't shoot it with 0.2.
0.3.
I would just hand Karl-Anthony Towns the ball right here. No, I would.
You are just throwing salt in the wound here, Coach.
I'd just give him the ball.
That's exactly what he did. And Towns fired it.
Oh, yeah.
And the game is over, and Indiana has won coming back.
He handed it to Karl-Anthony Towns, who just chucks it down court.
I think Adoraj was off doing something else.
There wasn't enough time, but as Reggie Miller said, that's Reggie Miller, right, chiming in there,
yes.
Who said,
yep.
You're adding salt to the wounds. So the Knicks just gagged it away, and I think it's good, too, because I think that has carryover. And it's not like I have great rooting interest in this series. I'm rooting for the Pacers, but if the Knicks use that as some motivation and that fuels even more whatever angst
like
in this series.
Because
you're being a dink.
Oh, like, it's
you're
super
being a dink.
No doubt.
But a lot of times you see guys inbound the ball off another guy's back or leg or something.
If I were Karl-Anthony Towns and I knew the situation, I would have thrown it back at him. Absolutely would have thrown it back at him. Now maybe we got a melee, who knows. But that's good because these two teams need that because they don't have the biggest stars. I mean, Jalen Brunson's a big star, and he scored 40-whatever.
A forgettable 43.
Well, Kat and him had like 75, 80 points.
Yep, they did,
it
yes.
wasn't enough.
As they should have. Never had that game against the Celtics, by the way, the two of them.
78 points,
but,
yep.
Yeah, but this series needs that little extra, I feel like, to get the casual viewer. You know, to get, because a lot of people around the country are probably like, Knicks, Pacers. I'm not really overly excited about that series.
If you bring it back to the Celtics, like, how does this game, when you watch that game and I think about the Celtics, I just sit there and go, okay, the Celtics have more talent than both of these teams. It's the system that is flawed. The Celtics shooting threes is the problem. Or there's in their analytics. I mean, did you see the Pacers doing the Hacker Robinson last night? Were they doing any of that BS?
No.
That the Celtics were obsessed doing? And when they were doing it, thinking that they were taking the Knicks out of their game when maybe they were really taking themselves out of the game by doing that, you didn't see Carlisle doing that kind of stuff.
Is it the system or is it the mentality? Is it more of the style or the mental way they play? Because the Pacers go at you. They're fighters.
But one leads to the next. The system leads to the soft,
okay, that
the
might
soft
be.
Style.
Right, because I was looking at it. One of the Twitch chatters brought up that Halliburton shot 12 threes, Nesmith shot 9. So 21 of their threes were those two guys, and then it's just like a sprinkling of everybody else. So this isn't the everybody gets to shoot 7 threes kind of Celtics performance. There is a juxtaposition here comparing these teams. I would also compare the expectation. I don't think the Pacers have an air of entitlement to any one of them. They're all these, like, guys that we know and have had some nice years in different spots that are all this collection of almost like the Expendables.
Oddly,
they're the
playing Expendables. Together as a team. Though.
Yes.
Isn't that weird how that dynamic
playing
works?
Playing as a team, playing scrappy, playing till the end. Right. Now, they do have an opponent that probably, but you know what? They did it to the Cavs, so screw that. And they might have done it to the Celtics. As much as we think the Celtics would have won this series with the Pacers, or as much as I think even the books had it, if the Celtics advanced, they were going to be favored over the Pacers. Just because they believe that doesn't mean it was going to happen. And the Pacers got a little something-something. And also, you don't luck into the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years in a row.
No.
That's not luck. That's not just like, huh, we really, really got fortunate that played our way. No. They're a pretty good basketball team with pretty good talent and a pretty good coach that you put it all together is good.
It's one of these teams that you look at and you go, man, is it really going to fit? You know, Siakam with Turner and Halliburton and I don't know. You throw in Aaron Nesmith and you think, how's this all going to come together? And it has. I mean, I mean they've put up points, and you know what? I that's where I kind of credit the coaching. You know, I think Rick Carlisle's a good coach. He was he was in Dallas. He is here. He can take pieces and he can see how they fit, and he knows what buttons to push. He can coach his ass off at the end of games, coming out of timeouts. I mean, you're telling me part of the success for Tyrese Halliburton, who's 12 of 14 on shots that tie or go ahead in the final 2 minutes of just this season, you don't think some of those plays were drawn up by Rick Carlisle? They got him open shots?
Sure.
Of course there were. So
absolutely.
The coaching is something to highlight for this team as well when you're talking about the Pacers.
You never asked your question.
What's the question?
You had a question before we came back from break.
Gosh darn it. Cementhead Ted forgot what my question was.
So Halliburton is clutch.
There
Jason
you go.
Tatum.
Oh, well, I didn't say that
question.
On air. I didn't say that.
I know.
On. You're bringing that out. I don't want it to phone line.
It's a question.
What was the question?
I don't know.
Okay, how about that? Who would you rather have in the last 2 minutes of a game, Tyrese Halliburton or Jason Tatum?
And I like how you phrased it. Halliburton in the last 2 minutes.
Halliburton
the whole game.
All day.
Jason Tatum.
I'd take Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum's a better all-around player, but I got in trouble earlier in the year when I said Donovan Mitchell was more clutch than Jason Tatum, and then Scal agreed with me. Just because you're clutch doesn't mean you're overall the better player, right? There's clutch guys that just, they come up big at the end, but they need other people to help them get to the end. They're not good enough to carry to that point.
Brunson's more clutch than Tatum.
He was Mr. Clutch this year.
Yes. Mr. Clutch. So,
and he's also.
But that's the quality that we here in Boston value, I think, more than anything, to be honest with you.
Oh, David Ortiz, Tom Brady, Larry Bird, clutch guys that can hit you that game winner, that game tying, whatever, make the play with the game. Edelman, drop, right. Last drive, catch, right?
That's right.
Like, that's an example. Julian Edelman's had a ton of drops in his career that we don't remember.
Big reason
he catches it.
Why we look at Jason Tatum the way we do, because you don't, if he had the numbers that Tyrese Halliburton, we'd look at Jason Tatum totally different, I think.
Yes.
If he was more clutch at the end of games.
Right. I mean, and then we had last year's example that Brown was actually the more clutch guy when the game was on the line. The corner three in Indiana for to go to overtime.
Oh, no, Jalen Brown.
It was absolutely Jalen Brown.
Not game four.
And then Jason Tatum scored like 8 points in overtime.
Right.
But it's like, you wouldn't have had that shot if the clutch guy didn't get you to overtime, so you could be the scorer. So, no, that's a good question. I didn't mean to bring your...
Okay.
And I didn't...
Right. I don't need it today. I'm good.
I'm just, you know...
Any other secrets you want to bring out, Andy?
Yeah, really? Thanks.
I don't think we have any. We don't have secrets.
Anything
here.
Else that was shared in the minivan in Green Bay that you want to dig up?
That thing you said...
Should we do a sideshow Pacifica talk?
No, when he took out the latex gloves in the Pacifica, that was two stories.
You were like, whoa, we're not that good of friends.
We're not that good of friends. No.
Cold finger.
Any party or whatever? No, we're not going there. 617-779-7937. Are you interested in these Eastern Conference Finals? But up next, we have a bigger question. We put it on the poll today. Who in the last calendar year has been the most overrated Boston sports team? Was it the Celtics all year? Is it the Patriots right now? I might have voted for that if I could vote in my own poll. Red Sox to start the year, or those Bruins who once upon a time people told me they were going to be cup contenders, the most overrated team in Boston sports. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But the never overrated Dan Ball has your trending first. You hear that, Alex Cora? You don't know what it is, because I don't know what it is, but the message is accurate. Don't you lie to me. Oh, that's Chuck Berry. Did you know that, Ted?
No clue.
Chuck Berry, don't lie to me.
One of the best, though.
You got it right.
Oh, Chuck Berry.
We have non-breaking news here for the Boston Red Sox, so we're not playing any sounder. I'm just going to read it, and then we're going to move on to the tease I had before the break. Red Sox have acquired first baseman Ryan Noda from the Los Angeles Angels, the Angels announced. So that's good. First baseman, you guys excited? Do you want a note to rest?
Can you give me some? I'm guessing if he was available at this point, he's probably not the best numbers. But let's hear him.
He's hitting 148 with a 633 OPS.
He'll fit right in.
In AAA. He's hitting 148 in AAA, not in the big leagues. In AAA, he's known, according to our buddy Boston Sports Gordo, that in 2023, he hit 16 home runs as a solid rookie for the A's with a 770 OPS. So
he's kind of bounced around a
little,
lot already.
Okay, beggars can't be choosers at this point. Does he play first base?
The fact that he can play the position but can't hit worth a lick?
Sounds like Casas.
Sounds worse than Romy. That's what I took away from that.
Oh, you and Alex Cora with your Romy.
Yeah. Well, I'm guessing he's only played first base, that he would be considered a true first baseman.
Yes, he's a true first baseman.
So exactly what Rafi wanted Breslow to do. Let's go get a first baseman.
Mm-hmm. Now, unfortunately, he's going to Worcester, not Boston. He's going to go back to AAA, but you now have at least a minor. We've been talking about have at least a minor league option. A minor league first baseman who once upon a time hit 16 home runs in the major leagues.
Yeah.
Okay. You happy
just,
now?
Just a couple years ago.
Everybody, a couple years ago. Yeah. Still young. But as I said, we had a little question pop up in our email chain, our discussion as we're doing some show prep here, because obviously the Celtics lost in the second round, so they did not win the championship they were supposed to
Screwed
win.
Screwed us on content.
Screwed us on content, so we're going to squeeze some content out of them in a different way. Boston Red Sox are now a third-place baseball team that could have swept the Mets but didn't because the manager pulled the ace pitcher. We'll get back to that in a little bit. Red Sox underachieving, and the New England Patriots, everybody tells me they're going to go 17-0. They're the greatest team since sliced bread with a quarterback.
Slight exaggeration.
It's what I do. Quarterback threw four picks in his first eight passes the first time we saw him on
off
the field.
Off to a rough start.
Rope-a-dope.
And then the Boston Bruins, last September, people were telling me, the hockey experts were telling me, don't worry about Montgomery's contract or Swayman, this and that. They could be, Razor told me, they could be a cup contender. A couple things go their way. They're a cup contender. They were not a cup contender. They picked seventh overall in the upcoming NHL draft. So I decided to put the poll up on X today. At Jumbo Heart, at WEEI Afternoons, asking the simple question, which of the four major sports teams in Boston is or has been most overrated? Patriots right now was an option. Red Sox this spring. Celtics all year. Bruins preseason were the way I worded them.
All right.
You know what the leader is, Fitzy?
The most overrated team in town? It's got to be your Boston Red Sox.
50% of the respondents, and good turnout on this poll, said it is indeed the Boston Red Sox. Next up, Ted Johnson, would be who?
Yeah, the Celtics.
Celtics are indeed in second place with 24% of your vote.
That's a pretty good number.
Third would be the Boston Bruins at 14% of the vote. And then, oh, you homers, the Patriots with just 12% of the vote right now.
About right.
So, well, no. I could do this
poll. Good job
poll.
By your followers.
We could do this poll maybe again in November. We'll see how the Patriots season plays out. There might be a different
spin. When they're 7-2?
Or 2-7.
Okay.
It will depend on the
poll.
Let's
do it again.
But do we agree with this? Are the Boston Red Sox the most overrated team in Boston sports over the last calendar year?
I think so.
Are they one of the more overrated teams in sports? I mean, we weren't the only ones.
Yep.
I'm sure we could have Dan Ball go back and find
Fox in baseball. In baseball,
yeah,
yes.
MLB.com and like ESPN.
Fox and other places that said they were going to the World Series.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to the World Series.
Oh, they're going
to
use that soundbite in
well,
the clubhouse too.
Maybe they'll buy tickets
like everybody else.
Sacramento for that small. So you better buy them early. They're going to be very expensive. That bandbox.
That's a fair way to put it. I just think there was a lot of national pundits that thought this is a good baseball team.
Yeah,
that this team was. You know, at least a 90-win baseball team, a team that had a chance to maybe make it to the World Series. And so, heck, even I believe, what did the wise guys, I'm trying to think what the wise guys had predicted over-under. It was
87.5.
I got 86.5 from Dan Ball, so
after they signed Bregman, it went up a game.
Okay, Danny's questioning your stats. I don't question your stats, Dan. Yeah. I trust you. When you put it in there, I believe it is the gospel.
It feels on first kind of glance that it just feels like the Red Sox would be the number one most overrated team in town.
So it feels that way. I think it's actually the Celtics. Because I'm just going to speak for myself.
Go.
I said some dumb things when we were down at
Scores?
At the Garden. No, before that, at the Garden for Celtics home opener. And I said something to the effect, Christian and I were debating whether could this be one of the greatest teams in Celtic history, in
NBA
history.
Looked pretty good that first opener.
Could they go? They only lost 4 games at home last year. I was like, could they go undefeated at the TD Garden this year? Can, you know, they're going to. Back-to-back was almost a foregone conclusion. Like, the back-to-back part of it, the banner, was, like, accepted.
That should have been the expectations.
Yeah. So they were pretty damn overrated, because I want to get back to. Fitzy, we were just talking about this during the break, you and I.
Aye.
People are going to remember this for Tatum tearing his Achilles. You were losing to the Knicks either way.
Right.
You were down 3-1.
Right.
So you were going to lose the series. That actually muddies the water and gives them kind of an excuse.
You know what? Yeah. I'm going to change my vote. I want to put the Celtics. Celtics. Mm-hmm. It's really Celtics.
Because the Red Sox, people were saying playoffs, maybe best case scenario, go to the World Series, whatever.
Yep.
The Celtics were they were already printing a banner.
Yep.
Like they had stitcher it up.
Don't tell
anyone.
Hey,
it
is. It's not really. It's not even close. It's the Celtics.
Children of Nicaragua are going to have a giant banner.
Yep, they can use that as a blanket. They don't need banners, but I think it is the Celtics.
Yeah.
We feel the Red Sox differently because we're still in the midst of it and last night's game, and maybe we personally hyped them up a little too bit. We get caught up with Alex Cora every Wednesday and optimism and positivity, but. The Celtics were considered, without a doubt, the best team in the NBA, right? Heading into the season. Now, at some point, their OKC surpassed them in the odds, in the favorite.
Correct.
But I still think a lot of people expected the Celtics to win, even when OKC became the odds-on favorite,
or even when Cleveland, was the highest, the first seed in the East.
Still
didn't worry about that. People were like, oh, that's fine.
Everybody told me the Celtics are actually better on the road. So game 7 on the road, that's
correct.
Fine. Who
correct,
cares?
Correct.
So that's cute that they think they're going to win. Won't get to game 7. Won't worry about that.
Yep.
Like people were downright cocky, and I would put myself in that group. Mm-hmm. And they failed to live up. Remember the Warriors game. When it was going to be, Tatum's going to be so pissed at Steve Kerr because of the Olympics, they're going to blow out the Wait, the Warriors won?
They're going to lose by 7?
Wait, why'd the Warriors win? What happened here? That's not how that's supposed to play.
They got them in the second game, but you're right. The first time they played them,
But I felt like that was the first sign of, like, superhuman.
If you just go off of what were the preseason expectations for the Celtics versus the preseason expectations for the Red Sox, I would say... If you put it that way, I think the Celtics were the more disappointing team.
However, the Celtics at least did make the postseason. Right now, the Red Sox are trending in the direction of also-ran once again.
Yeah.
And the Bruins, I don't know that anyone ever believed they were going to be good. Some of the analysts said they were going to. Razor, others, Fluto said, they have the talent. If the goalie plays like he can play. I'm not sure anybody really believed it. And then we get to the Patriots, which is in last place right now. But we're very early on in this process. We have no idea. If Drake May looks like the Drake May that the only part we've seen from him, that little sampling that is OTAs, then they're going to be highly overrated as well.
But
I don't really expect him to throw 4 picks in his first 8 passes of the season or whatever. And they're also not expected. they're expected to maybe make the playoffs. The most optimistic people think they'll probably make the playoffs, right? I haven't heard anyone that says they're going to be in championship contender.
No, definitely
hunt
not.
So it's the Celtics, and I think that we landed on the right answer there. Why is that?
Because they failed.
No, but why were they so, like, is it the system, Ted? Is it a presumptive attitude of maybe they listened to
I heard Andy Hart talking when I was driving into the opener at the guy. He said we're going to go undefeated at home. Like, were they reading their press clippings?
Can I use injury as an excuse?
No.
Or as a reason.
I don't know. Ted Johnson doesn't allow.
It's not an
excuse.
It's a reason why. I just think KP being injured. I think KP was more important than a lot of people. He was available for most of the playoffs last year, wasn't he? Except the last series, or
off and on. So he didn't play that much.
He didn't play even in the first couple of three rounds.
Okay. Go back and look.
Ankle sheath injury, whatever the hell that was.
So to say KP being injured, it shouldn't matter because he was injured last year's run too.
Yeah.
To me, there's not a better team in the NBA other than maybe OKC than the Celtics. But I give the edge to the Celtics over OKC because they've been there, done that.
Right. They're in their prime. They have their stars. Like, they're all signed. The teams stayed together. They all know how to play together. They know their roles. Like, everything we said was arrogant, presumptive. You say I like to parse words and play with words, right, Ted, sometimes?
Yep.
What do you think of this? The 3-5-1? I'm not familiar. Celtics aren't overrated. They underachieved.
You don't think expectations for the Celtics were high going in?
Don't yell at me. Yell at 3-5-1.
Yeah.
Which is somewhere.
I feel like most of the people. Well, I don't know. I'm trying to remember before the Celtics season. What were people saying about them? I feel like most people thought them as one of the best teams in the NBA and should repeat. And then they go, well, the last six teams that won the NBA championship did not repeat. So that was, you kind of factor in kind of just the mentality of maybe the NBA player. I don't know. They win it, and then it's hard to back it up. I don't know. But to me, I just think the expectations were very, very high for the Celtics going into the season, and the way the season ended, and it just was hugely disappointing.
Yeah, I can tell you, I did the conversations with people, what's the reason if the Celtics don't win? Well, injury, obviously. It's the only reason that they wouldn't win. That was what it was preseason, I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I can remember Scal saying, there's no one that's going to outshoot the Celtics in a 7-game series. And, they're not going to go cold in a 7-game series. Like, he was among the.
Is there a roster in the Eastern Conference that you would take over the Celtics roster?
No.
So there you go. So.
Well, right now, maybe, because I've seen the negative and I'm a little cynical.
Going into the season.
True Holiday looks old. Porzingis looks hurt. Tatum is hurt. Looks old.
If you take it further, is there a roster in the NBA that you would take over the Celtics? OKCs would you take over?
Yes. Yes.
Before the season started?
No.
Okay, so it's preseason expectations where the Celtics were the best team in the NBA.
617-779-7937. I see you lining up. Let's go to Matt in Newport. What are your thoughts on the Celtics, Matt, and why are you young? Matt?
Sorry. You got me?
Yeah.
You hear me?
Yes. No.
All right. Celtics are soft. Can someone please say it?
Soft.
You guys are making every excuse in the world for this team. They are the softest team. They were so lucky everybody was hurt last year. I'm dumbfounded that no one has come out and said this anywhere. Tatum loves Kobe. He's got no killer instinct. He's a great player. He's not a finisher. They are soft. Thank you.
And the thing, Matt, they are soft.
You've called them that kind of.
Yeah. They were soft last year and won. So it's, if I want to sit there and say they're soft, they go, well, how did they do it last year? I'm like, yeah, that's a good point. They played softer.
They played more injured last year. Cleveland didn't have Donovan Mitchell.
There you go.
And Miami didn't have Jimmy Butler. Right. And then Indiana didn't have Tyrese Halliburton.
And Dallas, please. I mean, right? So they were soft last year and still won it. That's the one thing where you go, okay, everybody that says, you want to call him soft, okay. And I think Jason Tatum is a little soft, dude. I do. Okay. Well, he's first team all pro and he's, he's a champion. Then you're kind of shut down. It's hard to, but I just think that was, you can't, now that they kind of, every team knows how the Celtics attack and run and they know what they want to do, which is shoot up a bunch of threes. now there's teams that can defend it better now. Last year, they weren't really sure. Now they know. Then you saw what happened to him.
Well, Scal said that
Wednesday. No creativity on the Celtics. None.
None. And Scal brought that up with Derek White has 34 in the prior game, and immediately they're closing out on him. They're, in transition, they're taking him away.
Right.
Did Joe Mazzulla expect that? Did he have something in mind how he was going to counter that? Yeah. And my guess would be no, because I don't. He hadn't faced it a lot. Because if you remember early in the year, one of Scal's takeaways was people were going to be super physical with the Celtics. That's how they were going to try to...
Well, every night was going to be someone else's NBA Finals?
Yes.
Yeah.
And really bang them around and be physical.
Orlando tried.
There was a while there where it was blitzing Tatum, double-teaming Tatum.
That
He's not
it.
Dealing with it well. Oh, he adjusted to that. And then now it was, well, we're not going to let Derek White just shoot threes. He helped beat us last game with 34. Did they have a counterpunch to that? And when you say Tatum is soft, do you mean mentally, physically, emotionally, or all three?
I think there's a physicalness, but it also leads to a mentality too. I think the mental leads to the physical, right? And one and part of it is just when I say soft, it's settling for threes. The term settling for threes is a soft answer to playing basketball.
But that's what his coach tells him to do.
You know, when I look at SGA, okay, well, you know what? Then it's a soft system,
mm-hmm.
and it's a soft organization. So that's breeding soft players. So if that's where you want to, that's kind of what it is. The system is so soft. It's a soft system that leads to soft players.
617-779-7937. Are the Celtics soft? Are they the most overrated team in Boston sports? Maybe one of the most overrated team in all of sports right now. We'll go back to your phone calls next here on WEEI Afternoons. WEEI Afternoon. Sticking with our rejoin theme of the day, lies, lies, lies. But no lies are being told about the Boston Celtics. They gagged against the Knicks, who are now gagging against the Pacers. Maybe it's a contagious thing that they passed along from team to team in the Eastern Conference Finals. But we've agreed, and the voters agree. 50% of you in Boston, according to my Twitter poll, say the Boston Red Sox were the most overrated team, and then we talked it out, and Ted, you changed your vote.
I did.
To the Celtics, because we remembered, we kind of went in the back of our mind, we'd forgotten just how good people expected the Celtics to be this year, and now they're not playing.
Like, better than last year. People literally expected them to be a better version of the team that won the NBA championship. It was fait accompli that Banner 19 was being raised.
People were mentioning these Celtics with the 1986 Celtics. Are they better than the 1986 Celtics? Guess what? They're not.
Yeah.
No.
I guess the answer for you, they're not.
You know, and that's the unfortunate thing, because I think that's gonna haunt them. Like, it kind of haunts, if they don't win another one, and soon, it's going to kind of haunt the you know, all the great players for the Bruins. They'd only won one, right? Special.
Bergeron, yeah.
Yep.
To be considered special, you got to win multiple. There's, you know, I mean, right now the Celtics, they're the same as the Toronto Raptors. They're the same as the Denver Nuggets. They're the same.
Aaron Rodgers,
right? They've won one. Hey, it's great. You won one, great. But to be special, you got to win multiples.
I like the Aaron Rodgers comp. The Celtics are Aaron. They're, no one's questioning their talent. They were this flashy, talented. They play a certain way, and that's great. And then. Wah, wah, wah.
But wait a second. Rodgers, at least, well, Jay Cutler did get hurt in that NFC Championship, so there were injuries along the way there, too.
Yeah.
How about that?
Not much of a winner.
How about that?
And right now, your Celtics are not much of winners. 617-779-7937, Brandon in Boston. What are your thoughts on this Celtics overrated discussion, Brandon?
Hey, how you doing? Celtics are much more better than the Knicks, much more better than the Pacers, but guess what? When it comes down to everything, it's coaching. When you look at a guy like Red, you look at a guy like Riley, you look at a guy like Phil, what do? They do adjustments. Mm. They're strategic in what they do. They don't stick to analytics. Analytics sucks. People are real, and you have to make adjustments. I think Joe Mazzulla is over his head. I think he's way too confident. I think that this Boston Celtics organization has boosted this guy way too hard. I fire him. Now, I do this. I fire him, and I make Sam Cassell the head coach because Sam Cassell is a guy that knows about adjustments. He's played with the legends. This is a guy that mastered his mid-range shots, that knows how to attack the basket, that's a playmaker, that knows how to shoot from the perimeter, that knows about adjustments. I get rid of Mazzulla right now, Sam Cassell, you have the job. I think Joe Mazzulla is way over his head. And I never liked him because this was Ime Udoka's team. He inherited this team from Ime, and he just went full throttle. He's destroying the Celtics. Fire him now. Get Sam Cassell.
Thanks for the call, Brandon. Did we? There's been a lot of talk about player turnover, changing
one of the better
the roster.
Brandon calls right there.
I think that's
kind of he kept it simple. And he hammered the point down.
I would like it to be analytics suck or something. Whatever he said in there, a good drop.
Not wrong.
People are real. Should coaching be considered? Because it seems like everybody is like, trade Porzingis, trade Jrue Holiday, do this, shake up the roster, change the roster. That's not going to change the system if you change players.
Right.
Yeah.
I question more what is the philosophy of the organization? Is Joe Mazzulla the one that's telling all the nerds to compile all this data
Brad Stevens.
It's Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
So you can fire Joe, but isn't the next coach going to have to do what Brad Stevens wants?
Theoretically.
Just shoot a bunch of threes?
Theoretically. I mean, Sam Cassell is a longtime NBA guy, obviously, between playing and coaching, so maybe he would have some pushback. Joe Mazzulla was really young.
The only thing I worry about Sam is Sam's had an opportunity to be a head coach a thousand. It's like the Eric Bieniemy kind of thing. Like, here's a guy that's been on successful teams, but never gets the head coaching job.
Think What's Charles Davis would have been the right guy for the job?
Maybe. I mean, yeah. I'm with him. I'm with Ted.
It starts at the top with the analytics with that come from Brad.
Especially when he was the head coach and he moves up. It's not like he's just a traditional president of basketball scout type thing.
A good coach to me would have done with the Celtics team is it's not about trying to just tell them how to do your system. It's about motivating them and knowing what buttons to push. My guess is Red knew what buttons to push. Red Auerbach knew what button. Yeah. It's an emotional basketball. You'll get, they're going to come into this season after winning and have a soft mentality. How do you press their buttons? Challenge them, push them, make them dig deep. And I don't think that's Joe's thing. It's just, hey, shoot a bunch of threes, guys, and that's the formula for winning.
Ted, the 617 has a question for you. Gentlemen and Andy, not nice. Mm. How can you call a team soft when you had their remaining superstar playing through a meniscus tear diving for the team? They aren't soft.
Okay, that's one play.
He wasn't.
I'm talking about
I don't think anybody thinks Jalen Brown is soft.
I'm calling the system soft. I think it's a system thing. I don't like shooting a bunch of threes.
No.
I don't. Right. I think that leads to a kind of a soft team more than anything.
617-779-7937. Let's go out to Western Mass. Bob, what are your thoughts on the Celtics under Joe Mazzulla right now?
Well, I think one of the last callers said it best. He had it absolutely right. I think he's over his head. Like I said on one of my calls, all these things about, doing best on the margins, always working on the margins. Well, it's between the margins where he seems to be over his head. He doesn't call timeouts, all this other stuff. And it's his systems. Like, he's saying his system is better than everyone else's. And this team is soft. And Jaylen Brown isn't as tough as he looks. And he's not as good of a defender as he says he is.
All right, thanks for the call, Bob. Little Jaylen Brown hate thrown in there for...
That not working for you?
Yeah, I didn't care for that. That's why you got the quick hook after that. You bring up Jaylen Brown hate, you're not going to be on the air for long around here.
Oh, my goodness.
Just real quick, JB, he did. He dove for that ball out of bounds. Okay, so he wasn't soft. How did he do in game six? What was game six like?
Well, I thought he was the only one who showed up, personally.
Okay.
I thought the first half, he was the only one who scored. And then what is typical with him, he tried to do too much. Then it evolved, and then the wheels fell off, and by midway through the third quarter, he had fouled out. I thought he grew frustrated with the fact that no one else showed up that night, and he did not handle it well, and then
that's why he fouled out mercifully by the middle of the third quarter.
But I thought he was the only guy who showed up early to that game. It was everybody else that just, they laid an egg. That may get forgotten
that's
in the injury,
putting it
too.
Kindly.
They laid an ultimate egg there. And again, I think people are just going to say, oh, Jason Tatum. It's always going to go back to Jason Tatum when there was so much more going on. They were going to lose the series with Jason Tatum. And after Jason Tatum went down, you played a good game. Why couldn't you do that again? Is that leadership, coaching, like system? I don't know what that is, but how, you know, one really good game and then one horrific. And they should, none of them should point fingers either. They should all thumbs first as to why they laid an egg in that game. 617-779-7937. Let's squeeze in one more phone call. Pat in the car, what are your thoughts on the Celtics, Pat?
Hey, guys, how you doing? I just wanted to touch base about that, the last two callers. So the first caller said that Joe Mazzulla is in over his head. I couldn't agree with him any more on that. Definitely need to regroup and kind of look around that. And also with Jaylen Brown to the second caller, he's injured. Like, he has the right meniscus tear, small, minor, but he wasn't 100% either. So I don't know what they would do moving forward with another head coach. But Joe might need to be checked, and there might need to be some things that I'm brought up with him. So I'll get your guys' take on it. Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Pat. Response, Ted?
Joe's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I don't think Joe. It's a little like Joe. The Bruins stuff.
Brad's the one that put him in there.
With Sweeney.
Sweeney's not going anywhere, and Joe's not going anywhere.
It really, for this thing to be rooted out, you'd have to get rid of Brad.
But I thought he was a genius, and they're lucky to have him.
Well,
and all
so
that.
there's aspects of his job that I think he does a great job at.
And if he builds a good roster, a lot of times in the NBA, the best roster wins, even regardless of the system.
Not
right?
This year.
No, but last year it did. That'd be my point. Like, if you put together a really talented roster, and maybe you're not the team that gets hurt, like last year, the other team has an injury or a reason or an excuse or whatever reasons that losers give.
But the thing is, the best team shouldn't have to, honestly, like they shouldn't have a system that holds them back. They have a system that holds them back, and
also,
that should not be the case.
A system that is very, like, narrow, doesn't have a lot of adjustments or breadth to it or anything like that.
It makes it so much easier for opponent to defend.
It's a mono system, basically.
All right, we go from criticizing Joe Mazzulla to apparently criticizing Alex Cora and his decision last night to pull Garrett Crochet, his decision to tell lies, sweet little lies, to the afternoon show yesterday. Alex Cora is in our crosshairs next here on WEEI Afternoons.